Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about pivoting your sales career in your 60s and applying your skills in a new venture. Today, you'll be meeting Jill Hart, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who helps life, health, and transformational coaches get clear on their offer, find clients so they can sail past the 10K per month barrier and create a business plan to reach 6 to 7 figures so they can scale without burning out. Welcome to the show, Jill. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie, for having me. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, me too. I can't wait to hear more. I know we're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're going to be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent, a little here, a little there, a little hiccup, you know what I mean? Sometimes a big hiccup. And they're challenging for you in your life as well as being a business owner. So let's get started with how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, a little bit about your entrepreneurial story, and of course, what it is you do in the world. So take it away.
Well, I am 63. And what did the kids used to say? Like 9 months or something? I actually am looking forward to turning 64. Being in my 50s and 60s was just like the huge turning point in my life. And turning 60 has just been like, I have arrived. I don't have to care what people think about me anymore. So I just live my life and enjoy it. And it's kind of morphed into pursuing things that really I'm passionate about, like helping life, health, and transformational coaches be the change they want to see in the world, which is where I did shift from lifelong career of sales. I've sold everything, like real estate, life insurance, air cargo container liners, copiers. I even sold truck driving careers for a while.
Wow.
Which is kind of odd. But then I got in with health coaches and life coaches. I was selling their programs for them and realized that, hey, I could just help these people because there's so many of them out there that really don't know how to put their programs together. They have all these skills and they're amazing human beings that want to help other people solve a problem that they themselves probably have solved and just really help other people feel better, live better, solve their trauma-related problems, spiritual problems. I've just been like such an amazing journey, but I realized that I could really help them get their message out, and I've created a podcast where I was talking with them and just helping them be the change they want to see in the world. And I created a program that is actually a coaching program that helps them get their message out systematically and come up with a marketing plan so that they know what to do intentionally and strategically rather than, you know, the throw spaghetti at the wall and hope something sticks method, which most people use on the internet. And then wrap it up with a business plan so they can figure out how to get to the income level that they want to get to. What, how many clients does it take? How do you find those clients? You know, the little details that coaching programs try to make you think that you're going to get clients right out the door, but that's almost never the case.
Yeah, so true. It's so obvious that your skills were beautifully transferable to having your own business doing this thing.
Yeah, and I love it. I love what the coaches are doing. I really, truly believe they're changing the world in such a positive way. For so long, we were struggling along with these old institutions that they just were broken. And as primarily women, okay, let's just put it out there. Yeah. And they're not the really young women. It's it's the middle-aged women that are coming up and saying, hey, I know how to solve that problem. I got the answer for you. Just do it like this. Or I was going along and I was suffering. I was miserable. And I realized that if I just did X, Y, and Z, problem solved. Here, let me show you how to do it. So you don't have to like struggle for years and years and years to realize that, no, you're not crazy. There was something wrong with you. And there was a way to fix it. Mm. It's just like, I don't know. It's so exciting.
Jill, tell me more about that moment where you realized you could apply all of your experience in sales to your own business, because that's an epiphany and you hadn't been thinking like that for decades. So what was that like for you? What happened?
It's just the realization that, you know, I was in with a group of coaches and it was like, you're almost there. You just need this little thing and push right on over and you're going to be fine. They just couldn't see it. And you can tell people things, but when you tell people things for free, really don't listen to you and they never apply it. We were talking earlier about, you know, people stealing your stuff. And it's okay if they steal your stuff because they're not going to do anything with it. It's the actually putting money on the line that makes people get a change in their life. When you pay for something and when you pay dearly for something, you're going to get even better results. It's weird how that works. But the epiphany was just that I have all these skills. I know how to do this. I do this all the time and I love doing it. And I can help these people and I love helping people. It's just problem solving is my superpower. I see a problem and I want to solve it. But people got mad at me for like trying to solve their problems because I was doing it for free. So now I just decided I'll charge you for it and then you'll listen to me.
That's great. Well, I know that in midlife, and you know this too, that sometimes things can get a little bit more difficult because of the challenges related to being at our age and stage. So what midlife challenges do you face? And what's come up for you when you're trying to run your business and do your thing, and then life gets in the way?
I would have to say two things. One is energy, because I just don't have the get up and go every single day that I did when I was young. But beyond that, probably it's the idea that people, and I have to say it's my family, they don't really realize that I actually have a job. I'm doing something. I'm working all day, and they want me to still be mom and drop everything. And they don't really realize that I'm busy. I have something that I'm doing, because for a while I had my last child when I was 44. So she's just recently, she moved out and then she moved back in for a couple more months and then she's going to move out again. But I've had young kids in my home for 40 years. For my whole adult life.
You know what? When I saw that in your notes, I had to read it three times. Like, wow. When you think about that, a lot of times if your kids are close together, they'll start to leave in their, you know, late teens, early 20s. And there's some toing and froing, but usually it's when they're in their 20s for most of it. Mm-hmm. And that's not what happened to you, because you've had them spread out. 40 years of having kids in your home. Wow.
Yeah. The older ones, I have 40-year-old children. and they did move out when I was in my 40s. There's 21 years between my oldest and my youngest.
Wow.
Sorry. They have a really interesting relationship.
Oh, you were just reflecting on that?
Yeah.
I was just letting it sink into my head. yeah, that's a lot. So you've got how many kids?
I have 5 kids.
Yeah, 5 kids and 40 years of them. So now you're an empty nester.
Almost an empty nester. I was an empty nester for 6 months. And then the youngest moved back so she could get organized again so she could launch again.
Okay,
I didn't know. It's so great.
It's so much fun when somebody's home. Yeah, it can be a lot of fun. And it can be not a lot of fun, but I'm glad for you it's a lot of fun. But really, that's a big... That 6 months of empty nester, what was that like for you? Because it must have been like shockingly silent in your home.
Well, my husband also came home recently. He's been a truck driver for like 28 years. So he's been gone a lot of the time when they were growing up. And as he retired, so there's, I have somebody in the house still. Empty nester with nobody home would have been like too much, I'm sure.
Well, that's when the pets start coming in.
Yeah, we just got a new puppy too.
See? Yeah, it's a very, very different lifestyle. So anything else come up for you with all of this midlife stuff happening? I mean, that's a lot to have one spouse or partner retire when that's not the norm, especially when he was out of the house a lot. And then to have the kids do all that. And you said there was in your notes, I noticed there was an ill parent.
Oh, my father-in-law? Is that what I was talking about? Yeah, he lived with us for a long time, but then moved out. He lived with us for like 18 years. He was my age when he moved in with us and lived with us. And then I sold my house to my two younger sons, and then he moved out. And we moved into a smaller house. So it was just my husband and my daughter and I. And then now that my husband's home, it's been really exciting. And it was really exciting when it was just us for a little while.
Yeah, very different. You can complete conversations and stuff. It's nice. But you also have a lot of grandchildren. How are you juggling all that?
Yeah, grandkids, it's great. Some of them are older. Like my oldest granddaughter is like 2 or 3 years younger than my youngest daughter. So,
wow.
They are all amazing human beings. They're just like in different stages. Like we have babies and we have juniors in high school, and they're just like such interesting people. I know they're my family, and I kind of look at my kids this way, but they've reached a point where I'm not responsible for them. So I can just like them and enjoy them and have conversations with them because they're people, but they're interesting.
Yeah, that's so great. One of the things that stood out in your notes too is just having a little bit of guilt about being available to support and play with grandchildren, to support the younger kids who need a little bit more right now. How are you navigating that with the demands of running it's essentially a new business with decades of experience to help you along?
Yeah, I do have guilt sometimes. It's like, I want to be there all the time for everybody, but sometimes you just have to put yourself first and think about the bigger picture, which is, you know, I am a human being and I have a life, and I don't have to be everything for everybody. I can be picky and have boundaries. And so that's what I do. But I do try to make time for the grandkids when they want me, or if mom and dad need a night out, it's like, oh, I get to go.
Oh, that's so good. What have you noticed about being an older woman and how it affects being an entrepreneur and vice versa? So as an older, I know older is subjective, but we're older than we were. And as older women at this age and stage, being an entrepreneur, I know I get a lot of weird reactions when I share what I'm doing at this stage, when there are so many people around me who are winding down and I'm gearing up and I'm very energized and excited about what's going on. So what observations have you noticed about being this age and stage and being an entrepreneur?
I love it. I know when I was younger, I was always trying to learn stuff, and I always felt like I didn't have the authority to talk on things, but I don't feel like that anymore. It's just like, I know what I know, and I've got years of experience to back it up. And I just, a lot of confidence that I didn't have back then. And just, it feels right.
I love that you said you had a lot of confidence that you didn't have before. And I don't know, you think you even feel a little bit like you used to feel when you were much younger, like maybe even a teenager?
I do feel like that. I feel like I'm like, I don't know, 16 or 17 again. You know how you felt when you were that age? It was just like the world is just beginning to open up for you, and everything is new and interesting, except I have all of that knowledge and wisdom that I didn't have back then. And I am confident now, where I wasn't that confident then.
It's huge.
It's really huge. I'll tell you a secret. It's not a very good secret. I can't tell everybody, but I got my first tattoo when I was 63.
Were you thinking about it a long time?
I thought about it. I had always wanted to get one. But, you know, when I was young, getting a tattoo was not a thing. I knew people with tattoos because I knew a lot of sailors. But those were the only people that got tattoos.
There's got to be a story there, but let's just continue.
So I waited for a couple of years. I knew which one I wanted, and I thought about it, and I had my daughter-in-law do henna on my ankle. I got an ankle tattoo. It looks like an anklet. And she did it a few times, and I finally went and had it done professionally. And I'm really happy with it. I'm really glad I did it. But I have to tell you, I went to see my dad, who's like 87, and my sister, who's a couple years younger than I am. And she's like, Dad, you got a tattoo. Maybe 60-year-old women telling on each other.
It's so funny because people today don't think about it like we grew up thinking about tattoos. You know, mm-hmm. I remember even with my set, I wanted a second ear piercing. So mm-hmm. I wanted, instead of just one, I wanted two. And my mom told me I wasn't allowed until I turned 18. And so I waited. I was a good girl. I followed the rules. I got one when I was 18. And then, of course, it got infected and it closed up. But yeah, young people have so many tattoos and they don't think anything of it. And here your sister was telling on you. It's so funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I had an ear piercing story too. I did my second piercing myself, but I only did it on one side because it hurt too bad.
It sounds terrible. I went to the mall. I got mine in a mall. Do you remember where you sit on the stool next to the counter? Oh mm-hmm. my gosh. Yeah. So what do you think is the most surprising thing about being midlife woman at our age and being an entrepreneur? Has anything really surprised you, positive or negative?
I think that it's really about how much potential there is right now. For the longest time, maybe 10 or 15 years, it really felt like it was pulling teeth to do anything. And everything was a struggle. And just recently, I would say in the last year or two, since COVID for sure, people have just like blossomed. It's like the whole world is shifting. And I could feel this move towards the more positive, better, kinder, more sustainable world that's just coming into fruition right now. It's just like, I don't know if it's because I'm older or because the world really is shifting, but it just feels better. I don't know how else to explain it.
I like it though. Whatever. It's very positive and it's very mm-hmm. open and it sounds like it's energizing you.
It absolutely is. I just look at so many more possibilities right now. Opportunities mm-hmm. are everywhere. It's really a matter of how can I just stay focused on doing this one thing?
Because
I
want to do everything. There's so many squirrels. The squirrels are so much fun.
Yeah. So what is your friend that is always like, no, just stay focused. Just do this one thing.
I know. It's more focus is usually a very good idea. That's for sure. So tell us, what are you focusing on now in your business and in your life? What's the main thing you're working on?
The main thing I'm working on is just empowering health, life, and transformational coaches. That is my big focus right now. I was telling you, I just finished putting the final touches on my coaching program, the Empathy Edge for Coaches. And I'm so excited to get this out and have people just really transform their coaching practices into being something that's sustainable and able to reach more people with what their gifts are.
What kind of a program is it? You want to describe it a little bit?
Sure. It's built on three pillars. One is clarity. One is a marketing system that's strategic and intentional. And that's really the key, and tracking your data so that you can make adjustments and you're not spending all your time spinning your wheels, trying things that don't work, or not knowing what is working for you. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the biggest thing for most people out there when they're trying to do marketing is they try all these different things. They either don't give it enough time or they're so sporadic, they don't know what's working and what isn't working. And then having an overarching plan, knowing what your goals are and knowing how to get to those goals, what it's going to take on a daily basis to reach the goals, the income goals that you have set for yourself so that you can be sustainable.
You know, one of the things you just said is really relevant for me because I'm one of those people that collects the data, but then I forget to reflect on the data. It's always good to take a look.
Yeah.
So
you set up systems for that.
I bet you can. One thing I'm getting, I'm becoming less grouchy about is systems and getting help. And the way we met is through a coach who's really big on systems. And that has been fun to really feel the pain of setting it up and then feel the gain, you know, and the relaxation you have of just relying on it. It's really great. It's really great. I think that's a beautiful combination of things to focus on in a course. How long does it take to go through?
Well, to be honest, you can go through it probably in a weekend, but in order to implement it, if you just look at most things, you could get through it in a couple hours, but it would be more than a couple hours. It'd probably be a couple of days. But if you're just going to do one lesson per week, which is, that's plenty of time to go through the lesson and then to do the assignment and then to feel good about what you're doing. It'll take you about 4 months to get through it.
Is it a combination of group calls and curriculum, things like that?
Yeah, there's modules, there's group coaching, there's a group that's very active and we help each other. It's not just like, you know, you're going to go in there and you're just going to get talked at. Mm-hmm. We talk together. And it's good for networking and camaraderie and support.
That's awesome. So what is the best way for people to get a hold of you?
The way for people to get a hold of me is to go to thecoachesalchemist.com. And on that page, which is part of my actual website, you'll find different ways that you can get involved with me, whether it's coming on my podcast, being featured, or just getting some technical help with a few things that you're struggling with, or even working with me. You can find out about that on there too.
And what's the name of your podcast?
The You World Order Showcase Podcast.
Ooh, and who's a great guest for you?
Who is a great guest for me? Any life, health, or transformational coach who's out there trying to make a difference in the world, who's just kind of getting started. Maybe you're not making 80K a year yet. You're my person. I would love to feature you, learn all about what you're doing, how you're being the change you want to see in the
world. So good. So if you're interested in that, just head over to www.thecoachesalchemist.com. Of course, this information will also be in the show notes. So what's your best tip to your ideal client to start thinking differently or to take a little step? What's something that they could do right away?
What you can do right away is think about your offer. What is the one problem you solve and for whom do you solve it? If you can answer that question really clearly, you're leaps and bounds ahead of most other people in your category or league or whatever.
So do your best to be super clear.
Do your best to be super clear.
Yeah, that's great. Jill, thank you so much. It was so great talking to you. I just love how you pivoted and really capitalized on your decades of sales experience. And now you'll be funneling that into helping more coaches do their thing, do their good thing in the world. It's so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Susie.
All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.